Okay, almost there. Now, where did you get to yesterday? There's a Mishnah.
We stopped at Imani, on the bottom of Kafchet Amud Bet.
On the bottom of Kafchet Amud Bet. So, Tana Rabbanan Shimon Apakuli?
Yeah, that's what I'm up to. No.
Amr of Tanchum? Which two dots are you talking about?
He said it's right.
Where did you get to? I don't know if you're all learning the same one. Did you get to the... There's a Mishnah on Daf Kafchet Amud on Bet that introduces the idea of Shmona Esrei. And they give various reasons for Shmona Esrei, because of the 18 things in the spine,
right,
and this and that.
Right.
So then, where should I start? You want me to start with two lines from the bottom, or?
Yeah, it's the Rebbe.
What's that?
Where did you stop last night?
Where did you stop last night? Shimon HaPakuli?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We'll do Shimon HaPakuli. Let me just get my place, and we're good to go. Tana Rabban, Shimon HaPakuli, his dear. What's that? Tana Rabban, Shimon HaPakuli. Shimon HaPakuli, his dear Yudchet Brachot Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. I'll say there Biavne. So in Yavne they only had 18 brachot as opposed to the 19 that we have today. So Amar Lehem Rabbi Gamliel Lechachamim Klum Yesh Adam Shodeh Takim Bracha to Tzidukim. Don't you have anybody come up with a new bracha? You got no poets that could come up with a nice 19th bracha of Lam Anshinim. So Amar Shmuel HaKatan V'tikna. So Shmuel HaKatan. Now I believe Shmuel HaKatan was the son of somebody, help me out, who did Pirkei Avos. So there's Rabbi Gamliel, and then there's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and then there was Rabbi Gamliel ben Shimon, and then there was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. I think there's a few of them in a line, but I'm not entirely sure. It's in Pirkei Avos. Then you've got this Shmuel HaKatan, and he was the one to establish it. So, the Lord says, Shana Acheret, Shachacha. He was davening for the Amud. This is Shmuel HaKatan. The Hishkif ba Shtayim v'shalosh sha'ot v'lo ha'aluhu. They essentially waited him for 2 or 3 hours. Can you imagine such a thing? They sat around in davening, waiting 2 or 3 hours for Shliach Tzibur, and he couldn't remember Lam Al-Shirim, so everybody was just quiet for 2 or 3 hours. So the Gemara asked a question, Am I lo helu? Why didn't they kick him out? I mean, why didn't they get rid of him? It wasn't just that he was holding up the Tzibur, it's that he forgot Lam Al-Shirim, and the idea was that maybe he's got... Now this is before the time of Freud. So you can learn this Gemara and say maybe they're worried that subconsciously he doesn't want to say Lam Al-Shinim because he's worried that he's a Lam Al-Shinim, he'd be cursing himself.
Yeah.
But I think that it's possible that we're talking about kind of a subconscious thing. I wouldn't put it there. I don't think until Freud told us about subconscious that people weren't aware of it. But I think they're worried about something more conscious, that he gets to, he's like, I just decided I'm a tzeduki and I don't want to say this bracha. I don't know whether he decided in the middle of tefillah or whatever it was, but all of a sudden he decides he doesn't want to do it. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Tav B'chol HaBrachot Kulan Ein Malin Oto B'Birchot Ein Malin Oto. Guy makes a mistake on Hashivenu, a guy makes a mistake on you name it, on Chonein Adat, you don't get rid of him. But B'Birchot Tzidukim Malin Oto Cheshen Shem Menu. But if he doesn't say Lam Al-Shinin, he's out. I have to tell you something, by the way, this is the first Gemara I ever learned when I was in 6th grade, and I had Talmud Chacham for a Rav, or Shlomo Warman, was good friends with Willig and others, real Talmud Chacham, and this was the first Gemara I ever learned, and I've always been afraid that I would mess up Lam Al-Shinim ever since that time. I live in fear since I was in 6th grade that I would mess up Lam Al-Shinim and that it would indicate something subconsciously about it. I actually practice it in the evening, so I won't mess it up when I'm davening. So the Gemara says, no, Shiny Shmuel HaKatan de'iu HaTikna. Now Shmuel HaKatan is different. He's the one who made up the bracha in the first place. He's not going to make up a bracha and then not be able to say it in the first place. He wouldn't have made it up. So Gemara says, no, not so fast. Nechus dil mahadupay. So maybe when he made up the bracha Lam Al-Shinim, he was a firm guy, and now he decided to become a tzeduki. By the way, you comfortable with the idea of tzeduki? Did you discuss that yesterday? The idea of...
Yeah.
So are you okay with what a tzeduki is, or should we... That's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Tzeduki, by the way, a lot of times people mistake it for a Karaite. It's not a Karaite. They had a Torah Shabbat Peh. They just had a different Torah Shabbat Peh, and they were very much Hellenistic. They had very much merged with Hellenistic societies. Although they were probably the original Kohanim, they just the original. A lot of the original Kohanim got pretty comfortable with the whole idea of gymnasiums and races and all kinds of Greek things.
Kohanim.
What's that?
Only
not only Kohanim, but the word Tzeduki does come from the idea of Tzaddik Kohen.
Yeah.
So they probably started the movement. Yeah. But they definitely have a Torah Shabbat Peh. It's just not our Torah Shabbat Peh. Yeah. Although we don't have much writing from them. The only writing that we have is things that the rabbis quote them on. The writings didn't survive. So it's impossible to be completely sure what their philosophies and beliefs were. Anyway, velo, is it impossible? Oh, so the Gemara says no. Amar Abaye Gmiri Tava Lo Habibisha. If a guy starts off good, or actually Amar Abaye Gmiri, I learned Tava Lo Habibisha. That is, if you start bad, you go back to being bad. If you're a Chozer B'tshuva, you go back to being a Chozer B'sheila. But somebody starts off FFB from birth, so there's no way that he winds up going bad. When it says velo, how can you say such a thing? V'haktiv u'b'shuv tzaddik mitzid kato v'ase avel. The prophets themselves were aware of people that start off tzaddik and then decide not to be tzaddik. And how can you say that? It's impossible for a person to go after off the derech. So the Gemara says, no, ha'hu rasha me'ikaro, about tzaddik me'ikaro lo. That's different, because that person that the Navi was talking about was in fact talking about a guy who was a rasha to start off with. He became a tzaddik, and then he left the path. But if the guy was a tzaddik from the beginning, anybody who's a real tzaddik would never go off the path. Now again, I don't know whether we've raised up the flame here. That is, I don't know if the Gemara is agreeing with what it said before. It could be saying there's a difference between a regular guy who's a firm guy and a tzaddik. Or even whether this would apply to just a regular firm guy. I don't know exactly what they mean by tzaddik here. But I think at the very least we could assume that Shmuel HaKatan was a tzaddik, and a guy who was a tzaddik from birth, there's no way that he's going up the path. The Gemara says, wait, hello? What, it never happened? What, you tell me that never happened? We've learned in the Mishnah, Al-Tamin Batzmacha, Yom Motcha. Do not have such confidence in yourself until the day you die. That is, allow a little self-doubt in. Shahara Yochanan, Kohen Gadol Shimesh Bekuna Gadola Shmonim Shana L'Besof Naaset Tziduki. Because there was a guy named Yochanan, he was a Kohen Gadol, and he served for 80 years a Kohen Gadol, and in the end he became a Tziduki. And the question is, who exactly is the Yochanan Gadol? We're going to discuss shortly. By the way, here's an example, something that I probably taught once in a while. The number 80 here is obviously not meant to be taken literally. 80 here means two generations. There's no way that Yochanan lived 80 years, no such person. So 80 here is probably a symbol for two full life careers. That's the feeling, based on David HaMelech ruling for 40 years. So when it says Ehud ben Gera and Shoftim ruled for 80 years, it's not clear whether it means literally 80 years or whether it means this kind of 80 years, which is a theoretical 80 years. Anyway, Gemara goes on and says, Amar Abaye Hu Yanai Hu Yochanan. That's not a problem at all. That doesn't bother me at all. That is the whole reason why the Mishnah says that you're supposed to be watching out for yourself, because maybe like this Yochanan guy, you'll be a Kohen Gadol for two full careers and then all of a sudden you'll go up the path. That doesn't bother me, because this guy was Yanai. Now Yanai, as you know, the famous Janius, Alexander Janius, he was the son of Shimon HaTzadik, or the grandson. He was the son of John Hyrcanus. John Hyrcanus was the son of Shimon HaTzadik, so he was the grandson. He was not a pleasant guy, but he was married to Alexandra, who was a big friend of the Pharisees. That would be us, or our ancestors. Yanai went both ways, sometimes with the Tzedukim, sometimes with the Pharisees. At one point, the Pharisees went behind his back, and they called in a guy named Demetrius, who was a descendant of the famous Antiochus Epiphanes. And they said, we hate this Janius guy, because he's a big Tzeduki, so we want you to come in and conquer the country, and then we'll take over. So what happened was Demetrius actually came in, and he started to chase out Yanai. Yanai was in big trouble, he ran for the hills. But then the Frumis, that's us, the Pharisees said, you know what, we thought we had problems, now we really have problems with this Demetrius guy, who's a Syrian, who's all over our country. So they abandoned Demetrius, they reformed signs with Yanai. Yanai then kicked Demetrius out of the country, but Yanai, being no fool, then murdered 60,000 crucified 8,000 in one day. He crucified 8,000 while he was sitting around having a meal of Pharisees, of rabbis, and then afterwards he had a purge, and nobody ever bothered him again for the rest of his life, Yanai, until he died, and Alexandra brought the Pharisees back. But Yanai was not a big fan of the of the Pharisees, but he did flip-flop back and forth based on who he thought was a better bet. Anyway, so then there's no problem whatsoever. Why? Because Yannai was a bad guy from the start, but Shmuel, who wrote the Lamal Shini, wasn't a bad guy. He was a good guy from the start of his life. Rav Amar Yannai L'chud V'Yochanan L'chud. Yannai Rasha Mikaro V'Yochanan Tzadik Mikaro. Wait a second. According to Abaye, Yannai and Yochanan are the same guy, which means the guy that we were talking about that you have to watch out for because you may be just like him, he started off bad. But according to Rava, that's not true. Yochanan is not Yannai. Yochanan was probably something else. Probably, by the way, Jonathan, who would be Shimon's older brother, who took the rulership right after Yehuda Maccabee died. And he was a tzaddik from the start because he was one of the Matthew's sons. So the Gemara says, Ha nichal Abaye el Rava kasha. That is, according to Abaye, you're okay because you started off a Rasha, continue a Rasha. But according to Rava, we're worried this Breita, this Mishnah that's brought down lately, says you have to watch out because you may be like Yochanan. And we've just established that Yochanan isn't Yana. He was actually a tzaddik from birth. And yet he still went off the path. And if that's true, then who wrote the Lamal Shinim? I lost his name. Who's his name? Shimon HaKatan was also a tzaddik, so why can't he go after the path? So according to Rava's understanding of this Breita, we got a problem because a tzaddik can in fact go off the path. So Amar Lecha Rava, tzaddik meikaro nami dilma hadrabei. So Gemara says, you know what? I agree with you. Rava would tell you that in fact if you start off with tzaddik like Shimon HaKatan, you can go off the path. So the Gemara then re-challenges, ihachi, if that's true. Amaylo Askinu, so how can they get rid of him? How do they know that Shimon HaKatan didn't go off the path, and that's why he didn't say Lamal Shinim? So Gemara says, no. Shiny Shmuel HaKatan Da'atchil Bey. Shmuel was different because he started the bracha. He probably said, Lamal Shinim, Lamal Shinim, Alti Tikvasi. I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. See, I'm afraid I'm going to say it wrong. Lamal Shinim, Alti Tikvasi, Chol Yisrael, Kredit Toved, and then he got stuck. Dam Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Yitim Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Lo Shano Ela Shalo Hitchil Baval, Hitchil Ba Gomra. So the way we learned that you have to take the guy off of being Shliach Tzibur if he won't say Lamal Shinim, that's only a case where he doesn't start the bracha. So we're not talking about a subconscious, you know, I'm saying the bracha but I'm worried that it's really me and then I'm going to mess up. It's a case where the guy won't start the bracha. If the guy already starts the bracha, he's not making a mistake because he really thinks he's a min, he doesn't want to curse himself.
Remember.
Yeah, although, you know, here's the interesting thing. If you really admit, this proves that the tzaddikim, weren't Karaites. If they didn't believe in anything, they weren't reformed Jews. How do you know that? Because if they didn't believe anything, then they would say whatever they wanted. They would say Lamal Shinim because it's just a bunch of poof words. It doesn't mean anything. Obviously, the speaker of this Lamal Shinim, the assumption of the rabbis is that the speaker of this Lamal Shinim won't say Lamal Shinim because they're afraid that those very words which were mitakin by the rabbis will have a negative effect on him. You know, what that shows you is that Tzedukim weren't like, you know, it's not like today where they didn't believe in anything, or they weren't atheists, they didn't believe that everything goes, they weren't anarchists. They were firm people in their own way. They just disagreed with what the rabbis believed was Torah Shabbat Peh. They established their own Torah Shabbat Peh that the rabbis completely disagreed with. Anyway, let's continue on. The Gemara then goes back to a new subject. Hani, Sheva, Shabbat, Kenegad Me. So in the previous Gemara, which we didn't do, apparently we did yesterday, which was, why were there 18 brachot, or 19? So now the question is, what about Shabbat when there are 7? Right, there's 3 of the classic 6 that we always say, plus the 1, Mekadesh HaShabbat. Amar Rav Chalfta ben Shaul Keneged Shiva Kolot Shamar David Al Hamayim. This is really cool, by the way, because Kol Hashem Al Hamayim, Kol Hashem Behadar, Kol Hashem Shover Azim, so most people don't recognize that, but there are 7 Kol Hashems, which is not a coincidence. There are 3 Tehillim that there's 7 Hashem names on them, and they won't surprise you what they are. One is Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, has 7 names of Yudkei Vavkei. Another one is Torah Hashem Tzmima, Meshivat Nafesh, Edut Hashem Nemanah Machimat Feti, that also has exactly 7 Yudkei Vavkeis. This one has many more, as we're going to find out, but it only has 7 Kol Hashem, the voice of God. So essentially, in recognition that Tehillah is really built for Shabbat, just like Mizmor LeShabbat is built for Shabbat, so too it is built for Shabbat, and therefore David was trying to hint that you're supposed to say 7 recognitions of God, and that's why they made the Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbat, 7 recognitions of God. So Gemara says, what about Hani Teisha to Rosh Hashanah Keneged Me? So, it's, I don't know why it says Keneged Me, it's really more like Keneged Ma. So, why do we have 9 for in Rosh Hashanah? You have the 6, plus you have the Shofrot, you have Zichronot, and you have, what's the 3rd? Malchiyot. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Deman Kartignin, that's some place, Kenegetisha azkarot she'amra chana b'tfila b'tfila. So when she said her tefillah afterwards, when she said Mikim me'afar dami yashvo yamim avyom oshivim nivim v'chiseva habo yanchileim, that's what she said after she got Shmuel, when Shmuel was born to her, and there's seven times Hashem's name is mentioned there. The Mar Rosh Hashanah nifkida Sarah v'Rachel v'Chana. So in all three cases, that's when Sarah got pregnant, that's when Rachel got pregnant, and that's when Chana got pregnant. And since Chana was the only one who actually made a prayer, so we have her recognition of her prayer. So she was actually the first one not only came up with the Shmoneh Esrei, but she came up with Shmoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Esrim v'arba detanit k'negin me. What about the 24 bracha that we say on the Tanit? Now, obviously, we don't have this anymore. We don't have 24 brachot in Tanit. But apparently back then, they had 24 brachot in Tanit. So the Gemara... I think it's plus six. I think it's plus six.
The original.
Yeah, we have like a Neinu, so we have that inserted, but they actually had the original 18. I'm sorry.
Nine.
And then Lan Hashem, I guess, was the 19th, and I guess they added five. Mm-hmm. Either that or maybe it was actually 25, because when they say it was 24, could mean that it started off 24 when they added Lan Hashem and they added it to both. And the question is, why would you do that on Shabbat? Well, maybe because it's a chag, so you could see them not adding in Lamashim on Shabbat. All right. So Amarav Halacha Keneged Chabad Rinanot Shamar Shlomo B'Shah Shechnis Aron Levet Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that's talking about Perek Chet of Melachim Aleph, where Aron comes in and he's giving all kinds of brachot, and he mentions Rinanot. I think he mentioned the word Rina, V'Halel, and all kinds of words like that. So ihachi kol yomanami nimrinu. So if it's true that Shlomo, when he was praying, said 24 types of renanot, then we should always have 24 brachot. That should override the 18. So where it says, no, eimat amrinu Shlomo biyoma derachmi. He only said it on the day that they needed mercy. Anon nami biyoma derachmi amale. And that's why on the Tanit we say it, but not on a regular day. Now, the question is, what does that mean, that the day that Shlomo put it in, you know, brought the Aron into the Beit HaMikdash, it was a day of rachmi? So there's a medrash, I believe, that says, somebody says that it's because the gates were closed. The Gemara talks about how when Shlomo tried to bring in the Aron, the gates were closed, and he had to say, Su Sharim Rashechem, and they wouldn't open, and they said, because my father did, and then they opened. So apparently there was a need for Rachman there. The other possibility is, if you take a look carefully at those brachot that Shlomo says, he says things like, and a day will come when you'll be at war, and you'll turn to Hashem, and a day will come that there'll be a famine, you'll turn to Hashem. So essentially, the reason why he says he builds the Beit HaMikdash is that you have somebody to pray to when you're in trouble. So that may be another interpretation of why specifically what they mean here. I'm not sure you have to add in the more mysterious side of the closing Beit HaMikdash doors. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer Me'ayin Shlomo Esrei. So now let's go back to... Rabbi Yehoshua says Me'ayin Shlomo Esrei. If we go back to the Mishnah, what this is talking about is if you're in a rush, what does the Mishnah say? Going back to the Mishnah, it says, Rabban Gamliel Omer B'chol Yom Yom and Pala Adam Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer Me'ein Yud Chet. He says that you say something like the Yud Chet, but he never says there exactly what it means, like the Yud Chet. So therefore, the Gemara is going to go into the issue of what does Rabbi Yehoshua mean when he says like the Yud Chet. So the Rav Amar Me'ein Kol Bracha Bracha. What that means is that you say like each bracha and bracha. I believe the way that we interpret that, if I'm not mistaken, is Rashi says Omer Bekotzer Umavarach Al Kol Echad Be'Echad. What that means is you say like the first words in each bracha. So let's say it's Hashivenu Hashem V'nei Rafei. No, that's right. Is that right?
Yeah.
V'nei Vasheya, and then you just end off the bracha Brachat Hashem. I'm freezing here, but it's okay if I freeze. It's only my machine that I'm afraid of freezing. Or Bnei Yushalayim, Bruchat Hashem, Bnei Yushalayim, that kind of thing. So essentially you say like the first few words, just get an idea of what you're saying, and then you skip right to the bracha. It'd be like somebody daven's really, really fast, and you only hear the first little part in the end. Okay. Shmuel Omer, Havineinu, no, so Shmuel says that's not what Me'ein Sheva means. Main Shamin Shmuel says, Habineinu, what did Rabbi Yeshua mean? Habineinu Hashem Elokeinu Lidat, Darkecha, Molet, Levavainu, Yeratcha, Vitislach, Lanu, Liot, Golim, Urchakeinu, Mimachovainu, Vidashneinu, Binaot, Artsecha, that means to settle us down in the pastures of our land, Unfotzotena, Mearba, Tikabait, Vahatoim, Aldatcha, Yishpetu, people do the wrong thing, they should be judged, Valrashaim, Tanif, Yadecha, that's Mamalshinim, the Yismachut Tzadikim, that's Tzadikim, Vinyadi Recha, that's Bnei Yushalayim, Vitikun Hechalecha, that's Tzemach David, I'm sorry, with Tmichat Karen David, Avdecho Recha Never Yishayim Shichecho, Terem Nikra Ata Taneh, that's Shema Koleinu, Baruch Ata Hashem Shomei Tefillah. Now that's not the whole Shemona Esrei. That's, what that means is you say six at the beginning, three at the beginning, three at the end, and this one bracha replaces all of those seven, but there's only one Baruch Ata Hashem Shomei Tefillah. By the way, that's the way we paskin. We do not paskin like Rav, we paskin like Shmuel, it's the interpretation of Rabbi Yoshua. But then, just in case everybody thinks there's a fast way out of davening, even faster, so the Gemara says, Layat Allah Abaye Amand Mitzalei Havinenu. So Abaye used to curse people, used to say Havinenu. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's only, obviously, that's in a normal situation where you have time to daven. If you're really in a Shad Hadchak, where you can't daven, like you're walking in a bad city street, then you're running out of time, then you could say Havinenu. I believe that's the way we paskin. The Gemara doesn't look like that, by the way. The Gemara just seems to say that the whole thing is bad. Rashi doesn't really say either way, but I'm pretty sure I read it. Yeah, actually, the Tosfot. If you look at the Tosfot, the top of the page, so Layat Alei Abaye Aman Dimitzalei Habineinu. So he says V'Hachi Kaimalan. That's how we paskin. That is, you're not allowed to say Habineinu. The Yesh Sparim. There are manuscripts. Dimasi Kani Mili that actually end off with Hani Mili Bimata. Aval b'derech shari. That's only when you're in town. But if you're on the road, you're allowed to say Havinenu. K'dimashu mechilta, Dabar Rav Yossi. And then he quotes a mechilta. Now, what he means by Yesh Sfarim, that means there are actually manuscripts that had this alternative read. The question is, was that an original manuscript? Was that put in later? Rashi certainly doesn't know from a manuscript. Tosfot apparently has more than one manuscript in front of him. One of them concludes that you're only cursed if you say that in the city, but not on the road. But I think the Gemara doesn't say that. And I assume if Rashi doesn't have it, he didn't believe that that was correct. Anyway. Amar Rav, although there is the support of the Mechilta, and I believe we paskin after the Mechilta. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Kol Hashana Kulam Bipal Adam Havinenu Chutz Mimotzei Shabbat Mimotzei Yamim Tovim. So, according to Rav Nachman, you're allowed to say Havanenu, but the only time you're absolutely not allowed to say Havanenu is on Motzei Shabbat and Motzei Yom Tovim. Why? B'pnei Shetzarech Lamar Havdalah B'chonen Hadat. You have to say Chonen Hadat. There's no way to put the Havdalah inside the Shomei Tefillah, the Havanenu. The Gemara says, Matkifla Rav Bar Shmuel. Rav Shmuel says, attacks him and says, wait, V'neimer Bracha Revit. B'fnei Atzma. Why don't you say the fourth Bracha by itself? What does that mean? First, Magen Avot, then Chaim Etim, then Kiddit, then Baruch Atah Hashem Hayal HaKadosh, and then afterwards say Atachonein, say that bracha, and then after you're finished with Atachonein, with all the Ben Kodesh Chol, and all the Kodesh, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonein Da'at, then go on to Havineinu. What's the big deal? Just add one more bracha, you have no problem. So the Gemara, Milo Tznan, didn't we learn Rabbi Akiva Omer, Omer Bracha Raviv Bifnei Atzma? So actually very interesting. So that's what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Yezer Omer Behoda'ah. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you actually said in a regular bracha, you would add in a regular Shmoneh Esrei, you would add a new bracha for Atachon Atanu. It would be separate, different. Before you got to Atachon Eim Adam Da'at, right after Baruch Atah Hashem Akel HaKadosh, so you'd say Atachon Atanu, right? He actually said it was a separate bracha. I guess Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavdil Mikol Shechol Min Olachos Min Yisrael Amim. Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavdil Mikol Shechol. And then afterwards you get to Atachon Eim, which means according to Rabbi Akiva, you actually had an extra bracha. And Rabbi Eliezer disagreed. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you put it in Hodah. Hodah is, what's Hodah? What's Hodah? What's Hodah? I'm guessing Hodah is Modim and Achavach? That's what Scheindel says?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So the Gemara says, Atu kol ha-shanah kulam mi'avdin k'Rabbi Akiva. Oh, now you're going to play pick a rabbi game? We never listen to Rabbi Akiva on this subject. When you're doing a normal davening, on regular Shabbat, when you're not doing Havinenu, nobody adds in Atachon Antanu Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Ben Kodesh L'chol. Amav Ben Kodesh L'chol. All of a sudden you're Havinenu, now you want to hold like Rabbi Akiva because he fits into your little plan better? That's now you can't do stuff like that. You can't pick and choose your rabbis. The Hashanami, Navdecha Kol Hashanah Kula, my time alo, Avdin and Rabbi Akiva. I'm sorry. The Hashanami, Navid Kol Hashanah, that all the Hashta Nami, that here also Navid Kol Hashanah Kula, Why is it during the whole year, my time of Din and Rabbi Akiva? So he says, Tamne sare tikun tishare lo tikun. I'll tell you why. Because the rabbis made up 18 brachot, and then they make up 19 brachot, and therefore you can't put it on Tachon Antanu. Now the obvious question for that, I guess, is what about Lamal Shinim? But everybody recognized Lamal Shinim is afterwards. Rabbi Akiva was saying that it wasn't an extra. It was actually the Shemona Esrei. It was actually not a Shemona Esrei on Saturday night. On Saturday night, on Motzei Shabbat, it was actually a Teisa Esrei. And the Gemara says we don't accept that. It's well established that it's Shemona Esrei, and therefore that's all we're going to do. Hachanami Sheva Tikun Tamne Lo Tikun. And therefore, since you're doing Havineinu, when the rabbis gave you a right to do Havineinu, you can't go sticking something else in. Even though it looks sort of like a B'Evid kind of thing, like when I'm in trouble, I'm saying Havineinu, so since it's a free-for-all, I'll do whatever I want. It doesn't work like that. Since we established Havineinu was 7, that's it. That's all going to be. It's not going to be 8. Gemara then says, Makifla. Makivla Marzutra Vinichla Michlau Havineinu. So what's the problem? Why don't you just add in Ben Kodesh Lachal in Havineinu? Just stick it into that bracha, just like we stick it into a Tachon to a Tachonet.
Doesn't count as a whole other bracha.
What?
Doesn't count as a whole other bracha.
Not to just take a few choice words out.
It's not part of it. It's not like its own bracha. So
correct.
I don't see why you couldn't just add it in.
That's the question. Why not just take the that big Havineinu and add in Atachon Antanu LaHavdil Mikodesh L'chol? End of story. You got yourself a new Havineinu with two extra words. What's the big deal? Swara says Matkif Lamar Zutra V'nichocha Nichal Havineinu Hashem Elokeinu HaMavdil in Kodesh L'chol. That is, let that be the new form. Swara says Kasha. You know what? Do Kasha. I don't know. Which means they refuse. That is, they're not going to back down. They're not going to change Havineinu. But you know what? It's not a bad Kasha. So Gemara then says, "Amar Rabbi, mi Amar Abaye, Kol Shana Kulam Bifal Adam Havineinu Chutz Minorek Shamim Ibnei Shetarik Lamar Sheila Brachat Agashamim." You got another problem. You're not allowed to say Havineinu during the winter. Why? Because you're not going to be able to put in Baruch Tein Talu Matar Livracha. Either that or Mashi Baruch Mir Agashem. I'm not sure which one they're talking about. So let's go on and see. The Gemara says, "Makif Lamar Zutra V'Nichlacha Mechlal V'Dashneu V'Not Atzecha V'Tein Talu Matar." We already have the idea that God should put us in our land. That replaces the bracha for Barech Aleinu Hashanah Zov V'Yakol Minei Tvalo Tova. So why not just add V'Tein Talam Atar, just like we do in a regular Shemona Esrei? The Gemara says, no. Ata le'atirude. Now, atirude in modern Hebrew means it would bother him by adding too much. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says atirude le'taut. If you add an extra word, he's going to make a mistake. If I stick in the middle of the words, in the middle of Havineinu, he's going to make a mistake. The Gemara says, wait a second. Ihachi habdal b'chonen adat nami atav atridude. Wait a second. In the middle of Shemona Esrei, regular Shemona Esrei, I take the whole Atachon Antanu and I add it in. I'm not worried that adding in the brachas. I'm not adding in that, you know, adding in a bunch of words is going to cause somebody to make a mistake. The Gemara says, no. Amri hatam kevedita b'tchalat siluta. Over by Atachon Antanu, that's the first thing you say right after Akela Kadosh. So lo matrid, so he's not going to forget it because it's a pre-insertion, it's a prologue. Hacha keva de atri be'emtza tzeluta, because it comes in the middle of the davening, matrid, then he's going to make a mistake. By the way, of course, this Gemara is very confusing, you know, with modern day sitters. You know, it's almost, you know, almost impossible to, you know, to conceive a mistake. But they, back then, not only did they not have, you know, most people couldn't daven. They got shliach tzibors, they hired shliach tzibors to daven, and he makes a mistake in the middle, and nobody was going to be able to say there's one Esrei, I guess. So it was a real big issue. It's a little hard to understand these things. We're so self-sufficient these days. So where it says, Matkivla Rav Asher v'neimer b'shameya b'tfila. So wait a second. Why don't you say Tein Talam Atar in Shomea Tfila? And I think the idea here is that it's at the end. Shomea Tfila is the last one right before Ritzei. So therefore, I think the idea was, listen, you can't put it in the middle. The reason why I added Atachon Antanu is because Atachon Antanu is the beginning. So I think the Gemara is then using reverse logic. So you're saying, fine, so you don't think a prologue's a problem, so what about an epilogue? Move it to the end. Ah, how do we know? The Amarav Tanchum, Amarav Asi, Tav, Elohis Kir Gvurta Gshamim. What happens if you forgot to say, Tein Talu Matar Livracha? No, this is not talking about that. This is talking about Moshiva Ruach, Merida Gashem. So what happens if you forgot Moshiva Ruach, Merida Gashem, Tchiyat Ametim, in the second bracha? So where it says, Machzir Noto, you forget. But if you forgot Sheila Birchat Hashanim, if you forgot Tein Talu Matar Livracha in Barech Aleinu Hashana Hazot, in Machzir Oto, you do not go back to, you know, do not go back to the beginning. did not pass go, did not collect $200. Because if you want to, you could, if you forgot it there, you could always say, when you say Shomayat Tefillah. The Havdalah, and what if you forget Havdalah and Chonein Hadat? So Ein Machzirotah, you also don't make him say Havdalah. If you forget Atachon Antanu and Atachonein, you don't go back, but not because you could say it later on, because you say it Havdalah. Because you could say it when you get away, when you say it at home. By the way, that's the way we paskin. If you say you forget Atachon Antanu, so you just
move on.
So in modern days, a little bit of a difficulty. Why? Because we drive home. And if you didn't say Atachon Antanu, you got a problem. So then you have to say Baruch Amavim and Kodesh L'chol. But normally you don't have to say that because the Tachon Antanu counts as a mini Havdalah. So the Gemara says, Ta'a Shaini. What's that?
The Havdalah, they're making sure it doesn't count for anything.
Not only does it not count, it could be that if you have Kavana to be Yotze, you can't then Yotze your wife.
Unless, I mean, sometimes I'm the one if you're the one making it, then you could count it, right? Or if you're up there.
You have no choice but to count it, but if you're a married guy,
you can't.
So now you got problems because your wife, you've been Yotze your mitzvah, so the most you could be is Mekadesh. It's a reverse Kiddush, right? It's an anti-Kiddush.
Yeah.
You come home and be Mekadesh Drabbanim, but your wife is chayef the right to do a reverse Kiddush, according to most poskim. Now you got a problem. You can't be Yotze your wife. So I quietly tell people, so I don't want to be thrown out of shul, that if you're actually Yotze here, then either that or just say don't, you know, just in your mind, all you have to do is have in your mind that you're not going to be Yotze. And then the Amen that you say is not for the sake of the bracha and the mitzvah, it's for the sake of simply recognizing that God creates wine, and that's it. But if you have a situation where you were Yotze, for whatever reason, you come home, your wife's not Yotze, so she should probably say Havdalah. Now, there are some opinions against that, but they're minority opinions. Today, it's become very common women shouldn't say it. They're all kind of Kabbalistic things. Grow hair all over her body. All kinds of weird things happen when a woman says it. But if you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan and Mishnah Berurah, they're all very clear that if a woman is a woman, could be Yotze, and not only that, a woman should be Yotze for herself if her husband's at home. Somebody actually came to me and they said that they heard, somebody told them, I forget who, and I'm afraid to say who, because it means the person didn't look up Shulchan Aruch, or the Aruch HaShulchan, or even the Mishnah Berurah, said if a woman's home by herself, she should wait for her husband to dial in, to call her, and say Havdalah on the phone, because she can't say it by herself. That's how it's, first you start with this Kabbalistic reason, and all of a sudden you start changing Halacha. So I showed the guy the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah affairs. They say no such thing. A woman should be Yotze. A woman could be Yotze if her husband's not home. In the case where you're Yotze at shul, really Yotze, that is, you have come out to be Yotze. So that's it. That's your Havdalah. And your wife should be Yotze by herself, in my humble opinion. I mean, ask your local shul rabbi, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about it, to be honest.
How does that work with Kiddush? How does that?
Same thing with Kiddush. If you say Kiddush at shul and you're Yotze with Kiddush at shul, then you can't be Mekadesh your wife. Same thing applies.
So if you're there for Kiddush, that's the hot Kiddush, so you're obviously Yotze by it because you're eating.
Oh, you're talking about a daytime Kiddush?
Yeah.
There is no Kiddush daytime Kiddush. You don't say Baruch HaKadosh Shem HaKadosh Shabbat. That you say a bunch of
Pesukim. For Friday night, though.
What's that?
For Friday night, though, you're saying.
For Friday night, where you actually say Baruch HaTah Hashem and Kadesh HaShabbat. So if you say it at shul, I can tell you, Rav Kripke doesn't say it at shul for this very reason. Rav Kripke is the smaller shul in Livingston. So I know. In fact, I learned with him, Arvi Pesachim. He was my Rebbe in Arvi Pesachim years ago in Hebrew County, Nassau County. And I know in his shul for a fact that he won't say Kiddush at night, because if somebody really is Yotze and then they go home, then I Yotze their wife. And also, well, the second problem that is the Ein Kiddush Makom Suda, nobody's having a Suda there. But for various reasons, he won't say it. Now, I think that there's plenty of poskim, there's plenty of reasons to be somewhat home on our minhag also. The only thing I would usually caution people, is just make sure that you're not being, make sure those kids are up there drinking, as opposed to the person saying it. Anyway, So Guf Amarav Tanchum Amarav Asi. Oh, by the way, that doesn't mean that you can't say, if you're doing a Kiddush, you could say it again at home, but you can't be Yotze to somebody else.
Right.
You could certainly enjoy as many Kiddushes as you want, but you can't be Yotze to somebody else. So Guf Amar, we said before, Amarav Tanchum Amarav Asi Tavalo is Kirk Vuro. Let's get back to this issue. Ta a Shiny. This is different, because when you made a mistake, sure, you could put in, if you forgot Morita Tavracha, or if you talk Hanan Tano, that's because you made a mistake, so you can make it up. But here, you're asking me to reinsert it specifically in Shomayat Tefillah ahead of time to change Bahashi Benu? That I won't do. You can't do that. You can only do it by mistake. Gemara goes on and says, Gufa Amma Rebbe Tanchum. I don't know what page we're on exactly. Should I? Because I'm, did we already switch the page?
No.
Well, almost there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have it on my computer, so I don't know exactly what page I should make it now. So Gufam Rav Tachum Amar Rav Asi Ta'av Lo Hizkir Gvurot Gishamim V'Tchia Tameitim. If you didn't say Mashi Baruch Meir Hagashem V'Tchia Tameitim Machzirin Oto, you got to go back to the beginning. shalav b'yochad hashani meim asir tov. But if you forgot, teimam tal matar live brachan in barech aleinu, you don't go back. Mitei sheyachol in omra b'shomei tefillah, because you could always say that shomei tefillah. Havdala b'chonein hadat in machzir tov. If you forgot havdala tachonatanu, you don't go back. Mitei sheyachol in omra alakos. Fine. We reestablished, said the same thing we just said before, but now we're going to ask on that issue rather than how it relates to Havinenu. We want to examine these halachic principles. Gemara says, Meitve, I got a contradiction for you from another Mishnah. Ta'a, it says, quote, Ta'a below his kirkvot akshamim b'tchiyata meitim machzirin oto. So far, so good. Shalav birchat ha'shanim machzirin oto. So far, not so good. If you forgot, Tehmo matal avatal, you also have to go back. Which means this second mission agrees with the Tachor and Tanu, but does not agree with Tein Talam Atal Bracha. So it says, Na lo kasha, no problem. When Rav Tamchun said it, Habiyachid, that's when the guy is davening. Sorry. Habiyachid, Habitzibor. One is talking about Yachid, one is talking about Tzibor. Which one is which? The Meteve mission is talking about a Yachid. Because you're not going to hear the Shliach Tzibor do it again, and therefore, if you forgot Tein Talam Atal Bracha, you got to go back. But Havdalah by Kosh you'll do when you go home, you make it by your family. But if you have a Tzibor around, then you'll hear it on Chazarat Hashatz. I have to tell you, when I was learning this Gemara, I was a little confused. There is no Chazarat Hashatz by Mariv. But again, here I think you're talking about a day. You're talking about the day when you have to have a Chazarat Hashatz, maybe even by Mariv, because people couldn't daven. They rely on the Shlep Tzibor to hear. But to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I came across this one, I didn't know what to say. I don't know, why would a Tzibor be any different? Unless you say it's not because he'll hear it again from the Shlep Tzibor, but because he'll get carried on with the greatness of the Shlep Tzibor, and therefore he's allowed to not go back and say it, because surely somebody else is covering him by saying, at least one person's praying for rain, so it's okay. That's the two possibilities. The first possibility assumes that he will hear it again, in which case they did Marav differently than we did it. I just don't know what the right answer is. I don't know halakhically whether they did it or not. I'm sure the Sum Gemara Bracha would say so. Have you come across that at all in this point of Bracha, whether they used to do Chazarat Hashatz in Marav? Okay. So I don't know what to say here. But for whatever reason, Yachid, you have to go back, and Tzibur, you don't have to go back. So the Gemara says, wait a second. But Tzibur, my time alone, why don't you have to go back? Mishum deshama mishliach Tzibur. In fact, this is where I got it from. The Gemara says, you'll hear it from the shliach Tzibur. And again, I have to ask the question, how can you hear it from the shliach Tzibur if Marav, the only thing I could assume is that Marav used to have Chazarat Hashatz. It must have had. I don't know how to interpret this Gemara any other way. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know what to say. So the Gemara says, Ihachi hai mipnei, the reason you gave in the Meiteve in the Mishnah was Shiachol ba'omro b'shomei atfilah. Because you could say it in Shomei Tefillah. It should have said, Mipnei Shomea Mashliach Tzibor Mibayle. Hold on a second. I'm not sure which one's Yachid, which one's Tzibor. But Tzibor, my time alone, how come you don't have to go back? Oh, I'm sorry, the Gufa, the first case, Gufa Merav Tanchol, that's talking about Tzibor. And that's when you don't have to go back, but you say it in Shomei Tefillah instead. The Meiteve, which says that you must go back to Tein Talam Atal Bracha, that's talking about where you're in Yachid, and therefore, since nobody will tell you to go back, you have to go back to the beginning. Now I think I know what's going on. Even if they didn't have a Shliach Tzibor doing it out loud, it could be the Shliach Tzibor just sort of did it in a voice. Now, like sometimes, like Shliach Tzibor will say, Yalev Yavo, so people know what to do. So it could be here too, the Shliach Tzibor, that is, let's say, I'm assuming now, I'm guessing here, because I'm guessing there was no Chazarat Hashatz. You missed it by Tein Talam Matar Levracha. You can make it up as long as you don't pass the Shomei Tefillah. But by that time, the Shliach Tzibor probably did something like Tein Talam Matar Levracha, sort of like we did Yalev Yavo, where there's always some guy who calls it out. So I think that would explain the situation of why you wouldn't have to go back, because likely the Shliach Tzibor you're going to hear it from, and that'll remind you to do it. Or maybe even by the very fact that you heard the Shliach Tzibor said, no matter where you were in your Shemoneh Esrei, you'll be Yotzei. So I'm not sure the Shliach Tzibor is saying the whole Shemoneh Esrei. It could be that he's just saying that words. But anyway, the Gemara says, if that's true, the reason that you should have given by Yachid wasn't Shiachol Omra B'Shomei Atfilah, it should have been Mipnei Shishomea Mishliach Tzibor Mibayalei. They should have given a reason for it. I'm a little confused on what this means exactly. Anyway, because the Gemara says, Eli Edi V'Edi, everybody okay? I think it's the bottom line. Ele'idi ve'idi be'yachid. It's not true. They're both yachid cases. One says you have to go back, and one says you don't have to go back to Yantzal Mabracha. Why? V'lo kasha. Ha de'idkar kodem shemayat zivad. Ha de'idkar v'adar shemayat zivad. It's very simple. If you got it for Shemayat Tevilah, then you don't go back. But if you didn't get it for Shemayat Tevilah, they were telling you that you couldn't go back to Shemayat Tevilah, you'd have to go back all the way to the beginning. And that's how the Gemara ends off. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Tamchom, Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Tav Elo Hizkir Shal Rosh Chodesh. Ah, what if you forgot Yale V'Yavo? You good? We're on the next... what if you forgot Yale V'Yavo? So the Gemara says, Be Avoda, if you're on Ritzei Chozer LaVoda. So that's normally, by the way, where we say Yalav Yavo. But what if you got past Yalav Yavo and you started to say, not yet to Moadim, not yet to Moadim. You were up like Vitechazenu and Eidu B'Shulchad Tzion. Oh, I forgot it. So no problem. You just go back to Yalav Yavo. You start over the bracha from the beginning. What if Nizkar Bahoda? What if you forgot Moadim? No problem. Chozer Lavoda. Again, you're in the middle of Moadim and Achlashta Hashem Lokeinu, and then you forgot that you didn't say Yalav Yavo. Fine. So stop what you're doing. Go back just to Yalav. Go back to Ritzei Hashem, and then you say Yalav Lavo, no problem. B'Sim Shalom, what if you're in Sim Shalom? Chozer Lavoda, no problem, you go back again to Ritzei. V'im Siyem, but if you finish, then you're out of luck. Chozer Lavosh. Now, then you got to go back to the beginning, not pass go, not collect $200. So Gemara says, Amrav Papa Bereda Rav Acha Barada Had Amrun Sayim. So now I want to clarify. Everybody agrees with this statement of Tanchum. Everybody agrees that if you got to the end, you can't go back to Ritzei anymore. But the question, and by the way, this is Vahalacha. If you get the modem, you've got Yalav Yo, you don't start all over again. You just go back to Ritzei. This is the halacha. Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says, wait a second. What did he mean by seeing? What do you mean by finish? Amar Rapapa, Breda Rav, Acha Bara, Dahad, I mean, Siyem. When he said Siyem, Chozer the Rosh, Lo Amar Nela Sha'achu Raglav. That's only where he took steps back. Avaloaka Raglav, Chozer Lavoda. As long as you haven't done. Which means all the time for modern days, at least that's how the Gemara seems now, as long as you're in a little kind of sore, as long as you haven't moved your legs, you're sitting around pondering, you said, Baruch Atah Hashem, the idea here is at the end of the official Shemona Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomer, help me, what's the other thing, Sim Shalom?
Amvarechet
Amal Yisrael Bashalom. After that, that's what we thought was seeing, because that's the end. Where it says, no, as long as you haven't taken your steps back, you're still in the ball game is on, therefore you don't have to go back. Then you go back to it, say you're fine, which means your Shemona Esrei is not over until after you step out. Amalei minalacha. How do you know that? Amalei may Abba marry Shamile. I heard that from my father, my teacher. But Abba marry me, Rav. He heard it from Rav himself. Rav being the first of the Tanayim. That's my yichus on this. So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak is going to re-qualify that qualification. The first qualification was, what does Siyem mean? Siyem means after you step out. But now we have to qualify, what does stepping out mean? How far do you have to step out in order to be step out? So the Gemara Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Ad Amar on Akar Raglav, that which Rav Papa said, that you have to step out in order for the ball game to be over, the Chozer LaRosh, and then you go back to the beginning, Lo Amar Ela She'ino Ragil Lomar Tachanuni Machar Tzilato. That's only where you don't say tachanunim. There's no Elokai Nitzor. There's no nothing. You say Sim Shalom, and then you step back. Aval Ragil Lomar Tachanunim Achar Tzilato Chozer Lavoda. But as long as you have tachanunim after your tefillah, then you can still go back. Which means it's not over when you step back. It's after only after when you finish with tachanunim. Now that makes it sound like it's which tachanunim? Which tachanunim does it sound like? The one after the Akirat Raglayim, which is which one? That sounds like which one? Yiratzon. Right? It doesn't sound like Elokai Nitzor. It's not what Rashi says. Look at Rashi. What is Tachanunim? Kagon Elokai Nitzor. You see what I'm saying? How could you be Oker Raglav before Elokai Nitzor? It must have been that you were Oker Raglav before Elokai Nitzor. That's not our custom today, but that's the only way to read this Rashi and understand how Rashi did it. The only way to read this Rashi to say that if you still have Tachanunim, even though you've been Oker Raglav, as long as you still have Elohai Nitzor to say, the only way that makes sense is if you do your Tachanunim, where it works like this. You say, Bruch Atah Hashem, what's the last Bruch again? Bruch Atah Shalom. Then you step out, and then you say Elohai Nitzor. Which is not like we do it today, but it's the only way to understand this Rashi. Otherwise, if Rashi would have said it was the Hi Ratzon, So we would have been good, because that we do after Akira Raglav. So apparently they did Akira Raglav before Lahai Nitzur, which is not our custom. But if you're curious what Rashi did in the shul, I think there's no other way to say that that's what Rashi did. Why Elokai Nitzur moved up, and at what point Elokai Nitzur moved up? You know what you have to do in that case? You have to go through old Sidurim from like the 13th, 14th, 1500s. How does Sfaradim do it? Do you say Elokai Nitzur? And you say it before the Akira Raglav. So it must have, and therefore it was a custom that, you know, maybe it's a Sephardi custom that eventually got its way to Ashkenaz, because it sounds like here in Worms in France, it wasn't like that. But I'm not an expert on, you know, on these old customs. So the Gemara says, Ikadamre, no, it's not like that. When did Rav Nachman Yitzchak say that you go back to the beginning if you're okay raglav, kilo akar raglav, chosel lavoda, lo man elashe ragil, lo mar tachmini makar tzibato? That you only have to go back if you don't usually say tachnunim. About eino ragil lomar tachnunim achatzilo chozer lerosh. That's more machmir. You see, if you don't say tachnunim, even if you didn't do akira, which means the akira is only still in the, this is very machmir. The other opinion was mekel. The other opinion was says even though you did akira raglayim, you're still the ball game as long as you have tachnunim. This is saying no. This is saying even the Akira is outside of the ballgame if you don't usually say Tachanunim, which means the Akira is only connected to Tachanunim. If you don't say Tachanunim, your Akira is also not part of Shemayah Esrei, and therefore once you got to a say, Amarachna Moisel Shalom, you have to go back to the very beginning. This is a much more Machmer opinion. The first opinion is more Mekim, the second opinion is more Machmer. I don't know which one we possibly like, to be honest. I think we possibly like the Mekil opinion. V'Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ha'osit Tzvilato Keva. Oh, so this was back to the Mishnah. What did Rebbe Eliezer say? Anybody who makes his Tfilato Keva, now this is very confusing what the Mishnah said. If we peek back in the Mishnah, I was tempted to call my Rebbe on this because I didn't know which way the Gemara is saying. And the art scroll, the Hebrew art scroll, didn't help me out much because I think the Hebrew art scroll doesn't know what to say. What does the Mishnah say? Rabbi Elijah says, Ha'osa, this is the second wide line on Daf Kavchanubet, Ha'osa tfilato keva ein tfilato tachanunim. His prayers are not mercy, are not equivalent with mercy. Ein tfilato tachanunim. Now the question is that negative or is that positive? Normally I would say, Ha'osa tfilato keva is positive, means he davens all the time. Or maybe it's trying to say, no, Osa tfilato keva, which means he's so used to davening, he doesn't think them anymore. He think about them anymore. Then his tefillot don't have the value of tachanunim. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the answer is that the Gemara is going to try to explain what he means. They also go either way. And not only that, I think some rabbis read one way and some rabbis read another one. This whole Gemara, I have to say, I'm going to read and translate, but I think you'll be able to see that you can go either way. So Gemara says, my keva, what does he mean by regular? So I'm a Rav Yitzchak Bar Idi, I'm a Rav Oshia, kol shetfila dome alav kimasui. Anybody whose tefillah is on him like a weight. That sounds very negative, no? That is, what is keva? Keva is like, no, you know, just say the same words, it's just a big burden. Yeah. Masoi usually is a negative connotation. Where do we see that? We saw that a few times ago in where you go into a shul, you're supposed to go two door widths. Why? Because it's not supposed to be like a masoi. But here, look at Rashi, what he says about masoi, it's very strange. What does he say about masoi? Does he say anything about masoi? V'hainu lashon keva, chok kavua hu alai lipalel. It is a law upon me to daven. It's sarachani lechovati, and I got to do it. That's very positive. You see what I'm saying? It's an incredibly positive way to look at it. And there's a bach in here, so if you notice, there's a little correction here, which I think was too deep to get into. But I think that the Rishon and the Sals are not sure, even what Rashi was saying, whether it's positive or negative. The simple read is that it's negative. The simple read of Rashi is that it's positive, and therefore it means tachanunim. It's not, it doesn't mean that his prayers aren't worthwhile as tachanunim, but his prayers won't become a tachanunim because bad things won't happen to him. You see what I'm saying? Only good things will happen. Hey, you can read this Gemara positively or negatively, and I really don't know what to say, and it requires more research. Rabbanan Amrei call me Shena Omer Balashon Tachanunim. It's anybody who says, who does not say them with the language of Tachanunim. Now, what does Rashi say? Rashi actually doesn't say anything about it, so there's no way to guess whether that's positive or negative. Rab of Rav Yosef, Dami Tar Vav, they all say, Kol Shena Yechova Chadesh Badavar. Anybody who cannot come up with something new. That also sounds negative, doesn't it? That sounds like somebody who can't come up with one new thing to pray, his tefillot are not worth anything. What does Rashi say? L'kavein libo b'shol tzorchav. L'chadish b'kashot b'kashto hainu l'ashon keva ki yom ki etmol ki machar. I don't think Rashi is going to say here somebody who can't come up with something new, because that makes Keva negative. Somebody who does Keva is somebody who can't come up with a new tefillah, and that paints this whole deal in a negative light. But Rashi is to be seen as it in a positive light. So the only thing I can understand according to Rashi is that Rashi means anybody who can't come up with a new thought. That is, while you're saying new words, like Refainu Hashem, I think about that sick guy down the street.
Yeah.
But not that you introduce new words. But I have to say, it's not the simple pshat of the Gemara. Simple pshat of the Gemara is somebody who can't come up with one new thing to say every time he davens, which is weird, because we become so accustomed to regular davening that we barely ever add in something brand new. There's a few places where, if you look in the art scroll, the Siddur lets you do it, but who really uses that? But if you read this Gemara, not like Rashi, but I think according to the simple understanding of Rashi, you're almost demanded on you to come up with a new tefillah, which is personal and meaningful. I don't know. I don't know how to read this Gemara. Rashi's a smart guy, smarter than me, and he's reading it positively. Amar Rav Zeira, Ana Yechilma L'Chidushi Be'Milta U'Mistefina Dilma Matridna. I got a problem. I can come up with the new words, but I'm afraid that I'll make a mistake. That if I put in new words, the rest of my tefillah will go out the window, because I'll be so excited about my own poetry, I'll forget where I was. So, by the way, that's it. There's no answer on that. I mean, that's a statement. And it could be, by the way, the Rav Zeira is saying that while I could do such a thing, it's not a positive thing. And if that's true, then keva is a negative thing, and putting in new words is a positive thing, not like the Rashi that we saw. Again, I don't know what to do with Rashi, and it seems that the Bach has a different gears of Rashi anyway, so this is not a Daf Yomi kind of thing, but it's certainly a very interesting Gemara trying to analyze whether there's a positive or negative. So Abaye Bar Avin, Rav Chanina Bar Avin, Damar Tarvayo, call, this is another reason about Keva. Kol She'im Palo Al Dim Dumei Chama. Anybody who doesn't get up and daven in the morning when the sun comes up and when the sun goes down, that is, you're supposed to daven at 8, you're supposed to daven at Shkia. Or Yishkia. The Amar Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mitzvah Lahat Lihit Palel and Dim Dumei Chama. You're supposed to daven when the sun comes up, the sun goes down. That's, of course, your classic Vatikin in the morning and Marv as it is. Amar Rav Zeira, my Kura, how do I know this? What pasuk proves it? It says, this is Tila Dalad, Yiraucha Im Shemesh, let yourself be seen with the sun, but if Nei Areach, and before the moon comes out, Dor Dorim, forever and ever. That indicates to you that this is, it's a beautiful Tila, actually. That's also where we have the Shema. That says,
it's quoted on
what's that? Yeah, exactly right. And a few other places. This is Rigzu V'Yaltechatau and Ruba V'Alchem Al Mishchem V'Domusel. It's a beautiful tefillah, which actually mentions Kriyat Shema Lamita. So the Gemara says, Laiti, not so fast. Laiti love Amaraba. Those Israelis, they had a different view of things. Aman Ditzali and Dum Dilchama. Anybody who davened when the sun went down, they cursed him. Why? Taima Dilmi Mitrafei Leishata. Because then you have no wiggle zone. If you miss davening, you've lost your davening. If you call mincha, and we're talking about mincha here, not maariv. If you call mincha here for mincha katana, then you got 2.5 hours till the day is finished. If you call for plag, you have 1.25 hours. But if you call it exactly for shki and you miss it, you're gone. So therefore, the Israelis were not happy with such a thing, even though the Babylonians apparently were. And I believe we possibly like the Israelis, which means I've always heard very positive things about davening batik and etzachama, but I've never heard there's a big mitzvah of saying mariv with shkia. I know we do it because we're businessmen, so that's when we come home, but nonetheless, I think that the general consensus is daven between Michatan and plag, I think, is what we possibly. Rav Yosha Amar, Hamahalech, Kodim Sakana Mitpalo Tfilak Tzara, V'chol Parshat Ibor. So this is also from the mission. It's very confusing. Rav Yosha says you're supposed to say a small tefillah, which includes the whole parsha ta'ibor, all of the parsha of the impregnated, or of the leap, of that which is full. So Gemara says, ask the obvious question, what is my parsha? What is that talking about? Even though you know that they're full, that is muberet, they're pregnant with sins, ki'isha ubira, like a woman who's pregnant, yihyu kol tzechem lefanecha, nonetheless you should take care of them even though they're full of sins, and that's what parsha da ibra means. And the Gemara said, and then the other end, kadamri no, amar rav chizda, amar rav ukva, afilu b'sha sheim uvrim al divrei Torah, it's worse. Even though they pass over divrei Torah, yihyu kol tzechem lefanecha. Now I have to say, I believe that what that means is that you don't read it ibur, but you read it over, which means you have to take the vav and move it from in between the bet and the resh to between the ayin and the vet. And how did they know? By the way, I guess they had some kind of mesorah. I don't know how else you would know such a thing. I don't know. Tana Rabbanan, Mahalat Kodim Gedudei, Hayalistim, and Palel Tfilak Tzara. So let's say you're walking in the army, so of course you daven short daven. Ve'ezu tefillah ktsara. What exactly is short tefillah ktsara? Now this is not the hashkivenu. No, sorry, this is not the tefillah tsheva that we said before, which was what was the name of the bracha before that we were talking about? What was it called? It was called Havinenu. So that this is taught. This is actually the one that we're more familiar with. Rabbi Yezra Omer, Asei Ritzon Chavi Shamayim Imal. Let your will be done. V'tei Nachat Ruach V'yirei Echa, and give peace and rest to the fearful ones. Mitachat Dam Lo V'atope Nechah Asei Bruchat Hashem Shomei Tzibah. This is your classic Shomei Tzibah. Rabbi Yoshua says no. Omer Shema Shavat Amecha. Listen to the desperate prayers of your nation. I'm quoting Rashi on that. He translates Shavat is really, really harsh prayers. Va'ase Mehira Bakshtam, and answer their prayers. Brochot Hashem Tzvei Tzvah. By the way, each one will be an interesting philosophical discussion. This is why does each rabbi think that? If you have one thing to say, which part of your request is most important? Is it the desperation plea? Is it the peaceful plea? So it's a very interesting philosophical gemara, which obviously if we started to do, we'd never get home. Rabbi Elazar ben Barab Tzaduk Omer Shema Tzakat Amecha Yisrael. Listen to the calls of your nation. Va'ase mehirah bakashtam, and do what they're doing. Now again, what's the difference between tzakatan and shava? I don't know exactly what to say there, but that's no idea. But tzachirim omrim, there are other people say tzorchei amcha Yisrael merubim. Your people need a whole lot. V'datam ksaran, they got very little ability on their own. Yehi ratzon, let it be before you. Hashem lokeru shetitein l'chol achad v'achad k'tei parnasro. Give every individual, and that's why I think it's different what he needs. L'chol goya l'goya de ma'asran. Give every nation what they need. Bruchat Hashem shemei tefillah. Amar Rav Huna halacha ke'acherim. That's the bracha that you're supposed to make. Amar le Eliyahu. Oh, now we have a theophany. Eliyahu comes to bring the word of God. Amar le Eliyahu Rav Yehuda achva de Rav Sala, the brother of Sala. Chasida, my chasid. Lo tirtach velo tichti. Don't get too hot and don't sin, which means don't let your temper get away with you and you won't commit sin. Lo tarve velo tachi. Tarve from the way kosi rivaya, which means my cup overflows, which means don't get drunk and you won't sin. Because shata yotze lederech hamelech bekonecha himalech bekonecha vitzei. Glorify or appoint your maker, make your maker the king, and then walk on the road. Where says, what is Eliyahu mean? My himalech bekonecha vitzei. What does it mean? First be royal, make your creator royalty, and then go. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Chesda, Zut Tfilat Derech. Know what it means? Before you go on the road, say Tfilat Derech. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chesda, Kol Yotze Derech, Tzarek Lipalel Tfilat Derech. My Tfilat Derech, what is Tfilat Derech? Yiratzon Fanecha, Hashem Lokenus, Tovichein Ni, L'Shalom, V'Tatzadein Ni, L'Shalom, Samchein Ni, L'Shalom, Tzalein Ni, Mikafo Yevo Rev, Derech, V'Tshlach, Rachab, Masei Yadai, V'tachanunai l'chein l'chesed l'rachamim v'necho v'enu kol re'ei ro'ai ruchat Hashem shmei tefillah. So Amar Abaye la'olam, and this goes to the next page, so I'll just give you a little bit of a teaser. They're going to say no, a person should always pray in plural and not in singular, and that's where the next Gemara is going to go, and it's going to take issue with that. And what's interesting is that's actually what happens in many of the rabbis did, that is a movement among the rabbis, that is for instance, in Yom Kippur davening, what do we say? We say Amarenu Ha'azina Hashem Bina Hagineinu Al Tashlichenu Milfanecha. That's not what it says in Tehillim. Those are quotes from Tehillim, but Tehillim doesn't say that. Tehillim says Amarai. I'll give you a ride home.
No, I'm just going to tell
him. It says Amarai Tazinu Hashem. It's all first person. When David is singing it, all those personal prayers are not all prayers of Tehillim, but most of the ones that are quoted by Chazal are actually singular prayers, and Chazal had a movement to make them plural, probably because of the changing times. I don't know, maybe because people, I think back in the day when David davened for the individual, people understood that they were davening not only for themselves but for everybody. But it could be once the melech, the idea of the melech passed away, that idea that I take possession over my people, and people got so individualistic that they weren't able to say the words I and mean we. So it could be Chazal decided that one has to say we, although it does water down the eye a little bit. What's that?
The whole
Shemoneh Esrei. This rabbinic davening. Hashem and Erfei, it's never a fe'ini. And the only time that you actually say it is on Tachanun, because Tachanun is a pure tehillah. So when you say it, it really is a personal prayer. So the rabbis didn't tamper with Tachanun. But in most cases, the rabbis modified I to we. And I remember even Rav Soloveitchik, if I remember correctly, said there is a certain loss there. You do lose a certain immediacy that you have with the prayers. That is, even though the prayers are supposed to be for the we, and we were losing that. On the other hand, the prayers were also supposed to be for the I. And by either way, you push or pull, you're going to lose somewhere. And the rabbis decided it was better to lose a little bit on the individual for the sake of the community than vice versa. And they were probably right, but it still, I think, it pays to know that there's something lost there.
You
rest on for that. You rest on.
I'll see what happens.
Yeah, you rest.
You know, for the final. He says that on, you know, then it says individual.
For the, right.
And
right,
also
right.
For Pandas, it says individual.
Right, right. And
so you can take care of your obligation in terms of Kahal. And then, you know, if you want to say for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even in the Pandas, it's still plural.
Is it?
I think
the rabbis were just afraid of the dissolution of the people. When there was a kingship, when there was a country, so if I didn't say Enenu, I knew it was Enenu because I had my people, I'm with my country. But with the people scattered in Galut, I think they were worried about the dispersion of the people, and therefore the emphasis had to be placed on the plural.
Yeah. Not everybody could daven anyway.
What's that?
Not everybody.
Oh, so you have to daven for the other people anyway. So
right.
In David's Melchizedek, they daven better to them anyway. It's true, it's very possible. I don't know, maybe the Gemara, I'm not an expert on Gemara, obviously, so I don't know, maybe somewhere the Gemara does discuss it, not that I'm aware of, but it'd be interesting to find out why exactly Chazal gave a reason why they decided to pluralize things which were singular. Anyway, have a good night.